Mustafa Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali
Muhammad. Wa ala ahli baytihi al-atiyyin al-antahin bihim natawalla wa min a'da'ihim natawalla ila Allah. Allahumma kun bi waliyyika al-Hujjat ibn al-Hasan salawatuka alayhi wa ala aba'ihi. في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليك المقابلة الضائلة المناصرة ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك الله وتمتعه فيها قليلا. May Allah تبارك وتعالى in these last days of the sacred month of Ramadan accept all the services, du'as, worship, recitations that were conducted, performed individually or collectively by each one of us, the Qabool and Hasan. And may this month not be the last month of our life. We talked about the journey to the unseen, to the hereafter, quite a lot this month. And tonight may be the last one. And one of the questions which has been asked quite a lot, and it's regarding the relatives that is our marhumin that we see. Sometimes we see them in our dreams and visions, sometimes they are sick, sometimes they are ill, sad, worried, and many a times we find them that they want something from us. There are instructions given to us from the marhumin. So what exactly and how do we interpret these dreams? Is there a translation to them or not? So it is something which every one of us sees, feels, and we want an answer to it. So dreams are a part of our life. There's no doubt in it. And even dreams, we have different categories of dreams. Dreams when we see Ma'asumeen alayhi salam, those are those high definition, high quality dreams. You don't need a translation for that. What you see is what you've seen. Because we have this teaching from Ma'asumeen, they say that whosoever has seen us as shaitan, he cannot be seen in our form. Shaitan cannot take the form of Ahlul Bayt, alayhi wasalam, Ma'asumeen. So seeing a ma'asum in a dream means it's a true dream that is from the malakut, that is from the higher levels, or maybe even lawhi mahfuz. They've got some messages which are transmitted, interpreted to us via the dreams. Many a times we find that the forthcoming events, events that are to be unfolded, how it will be unfolded, maybe this year, maybe 10 years, maybe 2 decades from now, they are informed to individuals through the dreams. So how come and how do we know as to whether this is right or wrong? We'll come to that point. Dreams, it is an inspiration. It is an ilham. We find that in the initial days of the Risalat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, we find that initially when Rasulullah starts his mission, he is appointed as initial instructions from Allah Ta'ala to him were in the form of dreams, and then later on it's by Jibreel or some of the other messengers or the angels who are working in line or in the team of Jibreel alayhi salam. So it went that way. Many of the prophets, we find that they get instructions in dreams. For example, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, he says that qala ya bunay inni ara fil manam anni azbahuk. Quran says that he, Prophet Ibrahim, addressing his son, says that I saw in my dream that I am beheading you, I am slaughtering you. And his son also says, whatever you've seen, do it. So instructions given to Prophet Ibrahim in a dream. Or for example, in this incident which unfolds, Fathi Makkah, the victory of Makkah, over here again the instructions are given to Rasulullah in a dream. لتدخلن المسجد الحرام ان شاء الله امنين. And before that says لقد صدق الله رسوله الرؤيا بالحق. That is Allah informed the Prophet in a dream which was haq, which was right. Prophet Yusuf has the same thing. He says that I see 11 stars and a sun and a moon, bow down and sajda before me. So what do I do? Because it wasn't clear to him, he wants a translation and interpretation for that dream. And to him the instructions were that Yusuf, don't reveal this to anyone. One of the things we ought to learn here is that if anyone sees something out of the world, something great, don't go on telling anyone. That is the teaching. Talk to us by Masumin. And many a times we find that even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, in his congregations, in his meetings, when they used to meet in the morning, sometimes he used to ask that who has seen what? That is, has there been a connection from this world to the unseen by any one of you? Meaning that it is good. That is, if people see good dreams, that is good. And it doesn't mean that we have to go on protecting and promoting those dreams that we have seen to others. One of the things that happens over here is that barakah is lost. That is, if an opportunity was given to you, the second opportunity is lost. So we have to keep these to a minimum, and if a translation or an interpretation is needed, you go to someone who can help you out. Now I'll tell you, give you some examples. Marhum Ayatullah al-Uzma Shaykh Abdul Karim Haili, he is the founder of the Hawza Ilmiya of Qom. Now this incident is being reported by Marhum Ayatullah al-Uzma Araki, who was the Marja Taqleed for a few years after Marhum Imam Khomeini Rahmatullah alayhi. He says that once when his Ustad, the founder of Qom, was in Najaf, now his day-to-day tasks, one of the best of the ulama of his time, he says someone informs him that 10 days from now you will have to come back, that is, you will die. He says it's a dream, takes no notice of it, like every other dream, says, I have to do my tasks and I do. And it was the 10th day, and he, with his students, was in one of those orchards. It was a hot day in Najaf. And then says, all of a sudden, he fell ill, starts shaking, shivering, temperature. And then they say that, take him home now. And he says, I think I'm departing. And all of a sudden he was reminded that of the dream which he had 10 days ago, that someone told him that 10 days from now you will leave, you will die. Now people who are good at that kalima, it doesn't matter for them whether they die today or tomorrow. The duty, because it is being done regularly and on time, they don't care whether they die today or they die in 10 days. Now this alim is faced the qibla, which is wajib on those who are around. When you find someone who is giving away his life, it is wajib on you that you face him towards Qibla, meaning that his feet should be towards the Qibla, that when he sits up, he is facing Qibla. And that cloth also was on his face, and he says, I saw the angels coming and my soul elevating towards the unseen, to the higher levels. All of a sudden, I sought help from Abu Abdullah and Hussein. I told him, Imam, help, I haven't done anything in my life. Allow me, give me an opportunity so that I could do something, at least I have some hasanats for my hereafter. The angels who are taking his soul, they say, abort, cancelled. Now he will not die now. Abu Abdullah and Hussein, he has mediated. And a certain amount of time was given to him, 30 years, 40 years, he will live for that much time more. As a result of that, another life was given to this alim. And in that time, this Hawza Ilmiya of Qom was established by Marhum Ayatullah al-Uzma Shaykh Abdul Karim Haili. In reality, the foundation of that Hawza is laid by Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Now the beauty of this alim was such, even the students, they used to object. They used to say that, now he, before he starts his lesson every day, He recites, someone is there who recites the Masail of Aba Abdullah every day. So students, they used to say that, what is this? We come here to study and we have to listen to the Masail every day, 10 minutes of our time. He says, this is the reason. If I have a life, it was given to me by Aba Abdullah and Hussein, and I have to cry for him every day. So that is this great person. In a dream, he is instructed and his life was given to him. As a result of which, this foundation stone of the Hausa in me of Qum is laid. So we find that in dreams, and dreams also, they are true, they are false. Sometimes we find that Shaitan is there. Through his forces, that dream is batil. Some dreams, when we find Ahlul Bayt in them, they are correct. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu was salam, he says, if you want to know how truthful your dream is, see that how truthful that person is. If that person is a truthful person, his dream also will be true. That is based upon the caliber, the performance of an individual, dreams are seen. If he is sincere, if he is true, if he is khalis, if he is pure, if he is sincere, interpretation and what he sees also will be to that purity. If he is not, then what he sees also will need to be translated or interpreted by someone who specializes in that field. So this is one side of affairs, that if something is seen, we don't need to go after it. And if you find that someone gives you instructions as to this has to be done, this prayer, that dua, this recital, we don't accept all that through dreams. That is to be sought from Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam and the teachings of Ahlul Bayt. If, for example, someone comes and says to us that offer a namaz like that with so many rukus and so many sajdas, we don't take it. Dream over here is not hujjah, it cannot be accepted. These issues related to worship, to ibadah, we have to get them from ma'asumeen, from the source which is 100% authentic. If the source is not 100% authentic, from dreams we cannot get all that. Sometimes we get messages which are right, and sometimes we get messages which are not. Now, one of the other things which we talked about quite a lot, and tonight inshallah we'll just close this chapter. In du'as we find that the best one we can confide in is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Whatsoever is given to Allah, it stays there secure and safe, and whenever we want, it can be sought back from Him, whenever we want. It's like these direct deposits which you sign with your banks, and you tell them from this day to that day of that year, send this much of money every year, every month, regularly. You can have that direct deposit in place with Allah. Tell Him, whatever mustahab I do, whatever good I do, it will be qurbatan ilallah. Because if we have that intention of qurbatan ilallah, for every good that we do, the good that we do, we get a reward for that. And because we've got that niyat of qasd qurbat, of qurbatan ilallah in place, we get a second reward for that qasd qurbat. Because we are busy and we get forgetful every day, so it is good to have this arrangement in place that we have tell Him, whatever will be done good, in addition to the reward we will be getting, a reward for that qurbatan ilallah also be added on to it. So we can have that in place. Or for example, in this dua we have, for example, adila, which we recite by someone who is dying, which is a reminder of faith. Then we say that Allahumma inni awta'tuka yaqini hadha. That is, you recite that dua, then you've got your aqaid, and then you say, this is my aqeedah, O God, and I've submitted this aqeedah of mine to you. And that day when I will be in need, and that is the day when a person is departing from this dunya, because of the horror he sees here, and because of the pains that will be seen by us, may Allah ease those moments for each one of us by this month of Ramadan. So those moments are going to be difficult. Says, because a person, upon seeing the horror and pains in those moments, he becomes forgetful. We ask Allah and we submit this aqeedah of ours before Him, and then when it will be time of need, that be given back to us. And it was mentioned that if you could take some time out, a few minutes, sit down, talk to Allah, that this is my Atida, Ya Allah. I believe in your oneness, I believe in the day of judgment, I believe in your justice, I believe in Risalah, I believe in Imamah. And then all this package of my Aqaid is being presented to you for safekeeping. You keep it safe, and when I need it, give it back to me. So, if you didn't get any time in the past days, we can have that in place now. And as we talk about this issue, we can put everything together and save it, and send it to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala for safekeeping. That is, whatever the aqeedah we have. Now, initially, when someone is departing from this world, he is confused. Now, all these days that we were talking about, we never talked about where we came from so much, because we don't know that so much. Quite a lot is being mentioned of where we are heading to, and that too only Barzakh, not Qiyamah. Barzakh, because it is slightly similar or closer to where we are living in, and to understand and to perceive Barzakh, for us it's easier. Perceiving from where we came, it's almost impossible. Qiyamah, it's almost impossible. We don't know what is going to happen there. What we have been taught and told by Ma'asumeen is what we have faith and aqeedah in. Here in this hadith that we have from our sixth Imam, Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, someone who has passed away, who has died, says that he is confused. He doesn't know whether he has come in Barzakh or he is yet in this dunya, because all these years, 60, 70, 90 years of attachment in this dunya, and now departing from here, all of a sudden in a new phase. So we are in a midway for a few days. We think that we are in dunya, we are not. We think we are in Barzakh, we are, but mindset is such that it doesn't accept. This is something which we find in our books. It's like when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was inquired about this issue. He says that life in this dunya, we have a life for 60, 70 years. We had a life prior to stepping into this world, that is the mother's womb, and everyone was there for 9 months. Says in this 9 months, this baby got used to this world so much that when it was time for him to depart from that world to this world, because of the horror of what's going to be seen in the new world, he cries, he is in pain. Because something which was his watan, his hometown, he is departing from there, coming to a new phase. Now he gets here, gets used to the life in this world, and departing from here, it's similar to departing from that womb to this dunya, from this dunya to Barzakh. And the attachments that we have in this dunya, to understand them, it is said that in the mother's womb, the best of foods and drinks we had were the fluids that the mother provided. Now after coming and stepping into this dunya and having sushis and what not, if you see and you are told that that was the best of dish that was provided to you in the mother's womb, that was blood and those fluids, how detesting that is. That did we like all that in those 9 months? The same thing is, when we depart from this dunya and seeing the blessings and ni'mat which Allah has for us availed in Barzakh, looking back into the best of sushis here, we would say that, oh, how detesting that was, how bad that was. Because Ma'sumeen, they say that the best, that mu'mineen, they will not know what exactly is waiting for them in Barzakh unless they step there. And once they step there, they will never want to come back to this world, never. Because of what Allah has availed for them in Barzakh. Now here in this glorious saying, Imam says, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ إِذَا وَضَعَ فِي قَبْرِهِ says, وَتَّوَلَّ عَنْهُ وَاسْمَعِنَّ says that when someone is laid in his grave, we have got two talqeens, one talqeen to be recited in the grave, and when the grave has been closed, we've got another talqeen. Talqeen means reminder of faith. Imam says that when he has been laid in his grave, إِنَّهُ لَيَسْمَى تَرْعَ نِعَالِهِمْ says, someone asks that when do those two angels, Munkir and Nakir, come? Imam says that when he has been laid in his grave, he hears the tapping of the feet, of the shoes, the footwear, of those who have come to lay him in his grave. He can hear them. His senses are all that strong. And then elsewhere says that the moment that tapping of the shoes of their relatives is gone, that is that very moment Munkir and Nakir appear. And Munkir and Nakir appearing and asking, it's not as if a very long procedure, it's instant. They know what exactly the Aqai are, and based upon the performance of that individual, they will appear. Munkir and Nakir in Arabic means Nakira, meaning unknown. Unknown, that is, their identity is unknown. If a person was bad in his aqaid, a kafir, God forbid, for them they will appear in a state of horror, devastation with whips and lashes. For mu'mineen, they will be kind. Someone who is very high in his iman, they don't have munkir and nakir. For example, ma'asumeen, there is no need for questioning from them. So munkir and nakir, we don't have. Even awliyaullah of that band, that high caliber, munkir and nakir, even if they come, it's just going to be something superficial, just like a formality that has to be observed. And for mu'mineen, we will come to this point that Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu was salam, he says, it's not munkir and nakir will come. Munkir and Nakir of a very high upgraded version, and that's going to be Bashir and Mubashir. Bashir means someone who will give that good news. Mubashir is also someone who gives that glad tidings to you. Says, for Mu'mineen it will be that Bashir and Mubashir with a new name tag instead of Munkir and Nakir, they will appear in a very beautiful form to welcome this Mu'min in Barzakh. Because he was good. Good meaning his aqaid were good. Now says that hatta idan sarafa al-mushayyi' wa raja'a al-mutafajjia', says this person has been laid and those who had come for his funeral, they are going back, returning. Those who were crying for this loved one, they are returning. Wa ub'ida, that is, this marhum will be made to sit in his grave. Says that when he will be made to sit in his grave, the term used in this hadith is najiyyan. And when he is inquired of his aqaid, he will answer najiyyan. Najiyyan is from najwa. Najwa is to whisper. That is, someone who has come to give his exam and he knows that he will fail, because he is definite he will fail, he doesn't say it out loud. He says in a very feeble voice, in a very whispering voice, that when it is asked from him, Man Rabbuk, who is your Lord? That who is God is, says that because they will be so much terrified, they will say that in a very feeble way, very whispering voice. So that second talqeen we do have in riwayat, teaching from Ma'asumeen, they say that it is said that when you recite that first talqeen, everyone leaves by the grave, that marhum and one of his relatives stays back and recites that second talqeen to him, reminds him, and he knows what exactly is happening. Here Imam says, that is, if you remind that marhum with this second talqeen, says, فَقَدْ لُقِّنَ حُجَّتُ. That is, the angels, when they come to inquire, they say, don't ask him. It's already been answered. That second talqeen recited by those alive to that person who is dead, says, upon seeing that second talqeen, even the angels, they don't ask. They say that he has already answered the question. He has been reminded of his faith, and that faith is there. Now we talked about marhum Ayatullah al-Uzma, Shaykh Abdul Kareem Ha'ari. His son, Ayatullah al-Uzma, Shaykh Murtaza Ha'ari, one of those great ulama, who was the marja at-tahreen after Imam Khomeini for a few years. He passed away. Now someone from among his relatives, now regarding this great personality, in those days of the revolution when people were talking about the instructions that were given by marhum Imam Khomeini, to him also they came, a delegation came, that this is what, these are the instructions of Imam, what do you say? He says, whatever he says is accepted blindly. I am ready to take his footwear, and that will be the greatest honor for me to serve a waliyullah. That is, a waliyullah talking about another Valigirna as such. That is, he wants to carry the footwear of that great honor. Now this personality, someone passes away, he is in the grave reciting the talqeen of that marhum, and it took longer than usual. When he came out, people who were around him, they said that, why did you take so long to recite that talqeen? He says, that is marhum Ajullah Ibn Shaykh Murtaza A'ili, says, I wanted to be certain and confident and see as to whether or not this marhum has responded to the angels correctly, so that I could be at rest. That is someone of that great caliber who knows what is happening in the graves, who can see the angels frequenting in the graves, the questioning in the graves. Says, I wanted to be confident as to whether he is answering all the questions right. And when I was confident, I came out. So, questioning in the grave is haqq. This is what Maksumeen have taught. And then says, after that questioning, we find that these angels will open up doors of the heavens to this marhum, or doors of the hell to that marhum, if that person was someone who stood against him. So, that heaven and hell which we will be getting in the akhirat, a breeze of it will be given to us in barzakh, based upon the quality and the performance of an individual. The questioning that we have in the grave says that there is a general questioning, just a very brief one, and there is this hisab in the hereafter, which is that detailed, itemized billing which we have in the hereafter. In the grave they ask, Man Rabbuk, who is your God? Man Nabiyuk, what is your book? Who is your prophet? All these bases. And from the ahkam, the basis will be asked as to whether a person offered his prayers, fasts, hajj, khums, all these basics, yes or no, yes or no. Now why do they ask that these questions? Is that if my claim was I am a Muslim, then that claim of mine has to be certified by certain actions. First of it is salat. Says, yes, I said my salat. And then the next question would be, this life which Allah had given to you, 60, 70, 80, whatever, says this life was served in Allah's obedience or disobedience, second question. And then when we ask that Allah gave you youth, sometimes it's said that this youth is from the moment a person is mature till the age of 35, sometimes they extend it to 45. They say even that 45 is a person, he is young. From 45 onwards, it's that decline. Says that this youth which Allah gave you, was it served in His way or was it against His will, against His design? And the third question will be about these questions, the ahkam, do's and don'ts. Just the brief of it. Based upon that, the doors of the hell, they will be either open before us, or the doors of the heavens, they will be open before us. There are certain a'mal, it was mentioned repeatedly, I think the second or third day, that certain a'mal and actions are such that they waive all these questionings in the grave. Among them, it's shahadat, martyrdom. And in this dua which we recite every day in this month of Ramadan, we say, وَقَتْلًا فِي سَبِيلِكَ فَوَفِّقْ لَنَا. That is, death, dying in the way of, in your way, grant us, give it to us. And even in living, as we have a perfect living, in dying also we have a perfect dying. In dying, death and dying, the perfect death is shahadat in the way of Allah. Even in that shahadat, the highest band and caliber, it's that shahadat in the war front, when a person is shot, is killed, is beheaded in the battlefield. And the ruling for him, for that shaheed, is that he be buried as he has died. No ghusl, no kafan for him. He has to be buried. That is, he is a shaheed, meaning that he is a witness before Allah, that you gave me a life that has been given to you. Now, for such people, there is no questioning. Why there is no questioning? It's just common sense. Because questioning is for those people who were lower in caliber. Someone was so high, like Ma'asumeen, no questioning. Because why would they question? Someone, a task was assigned to them, given to them, to propagate Deen, to promote Deen, they have done their job. So no questioning for them. Now this Shaheed also, a life was given to him. And he gave away all his possession in the way of Allah by that sword that was on his head, that gunpoint, or that today, these tanks that we have in front of us. So that life that was given to us is being presented before Allah. So what more witness do we want? That is, whatever was given to us is being presented before Allah. So there will be no questioning for such people. That is, there will be no munkir and nakir. And grave also, we said that it doesn't mean the grave where a person will be buried, that hole in the earth. Because many a time we find that people, they die in seas, many a time they may die in the air, in the space. And such people, they might not even have a grave. This soul that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has given to us, in this world, a covering, a coating, a shell has been given to the soul in the form of this human body. When a person dies, that body has to be dumped in the earth. Soul which Allah has given, it is transferred from this shell to another secure shell which is much stronger than this one and thousands of times more perfect than this human body. So soul is secure, taken out from this body, secured in another, for example, a capsule like and thing. Says that that is that grave, wherever that soul will be given. And this concept that is heard a lot, that a person when he dies, his soul is wandering around. No soul wanders anywhere. Soul is out from this body, and it's secure in that person, wherever Allah will keep the souls of mu'mineen. That also is another topic. So, no soul wanders anywhere. Ruh ka bhatakna to kehte hain. We don't have such things. Many of these things are got to our faith, they have come to us from other religions, other sources, and all that is wrong, all that is wanted. We believe that this soul is there, it's, when a person dies, it's taken out from this body, it's secured somewhere else, and that is that grave, that is well said. The moment a person dies from this dunya, the next moment he is in Barzakh. Whether he enters his grave in that earth, or whether he does not enter, the next moment he is in his grave. Now here, what do they see? Someone who has passed away. Here Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu was salam. Imam says, إِنَّكُمْ لَوْ قَدْ عَيَنْتُمْ مَا قَدْ عَيَنَا مَنْ مَاتَ مِنْكُمْ لَجَزَعْتُمْ وَوَهَلْتُمْ وَسَمِعْتُمْ وَأَتَعْتُمْ وَلَكِنْ مَعْجُورٌ. Imam says, had you seen what exactly unfolds on that person who has passed away, you would die of horror, you would die in all these pains and griefs. The reason why we don't see, Imam says, it's because of these barriers and these hijabs that are between us and them. We don't know what exactly is happening with them. But that great alim, he goes in the grave, he recites that talqeen and says, I want you to be confident as to whether he has answered all the questions correctly, and then I came out. So they are different, they are of great caliber. Says that, then Imam says, if you wanted to know what they say, the first thing they would say is that إِنَّ خَيْرَ زَادْ التَّقْوَى. That is, if they were given this opportunity to communicate, to converse and to speak to you, the first thing and the only thing they would say is that إِنَّ خَيْرَ زَادْ التَّقْوَى. That the best provision that you can carry to the hereafter, it's that taqwa which we have to observe. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala help us in these last few days of the sacred month of Ramadan, and may He Jalla Ba'ala not make it as such that this month be destined as the last month of our life. To us, life, health be given so that we serve Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to the best and the maximum ability of ours. All those who are in and ailing, especially present in this majlis, Ya Allah, بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعدها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها 10 times. Ya Allah, 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 grant them shifa. All those who have departed, especially from among our relatives present in this majlis, and I'm all mu'mineen and mu'minat at large, Allah forgive them, and in this month of mercy, elevate and provide higher and higher ranks to them. All those who are weak in their iman and their actions in their aman, Allah, in this month, help them, help us all, strengthen our actions and iman much more. Our children to be enlisted among the best of Muslims who ever existed. We to be enlisted among the best of supporters and the servants and those who seek shahadat in the way and in the path of Amir al-Mu'mineen and Imam al-Asr alayhim as-salam. Ya Allah, our ulama, protect them, save them. Islam and Muslims grant dignity to them. All those who have stood against Islam, grant devastation and destruction to them. Wa'atil fi faraji maulana sahib al-zaman.
Allah.